Anything you missed from today's Big Breakfast is in the Catch Up podcast on the Listener app. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Pick up a fragrance for a loved one this Christmas from Chemist Warehouse, the real house of fragrance.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Hey, thanks for downloading the Triple M Big Breakfast catch-up podcast here on the Listener app.
I love listening to the Big Breakfast on Triple M's Listener app.
Yeah. Well, you've already heard it because you were part of it.
Oh, I like to listen back, just take notes and make sure I do better the next day.
You know what is good? I was listening to Marty Sheargold yesterday. And what? No, before Marty Sheargold, you know, when Josh is on between 12
Josh
and 3.
Ollett.
Yeah, between 12 and 3. He plays some replays from our show.
Yes. And?
They sound a hell of a lot better. He cuts all the shit bits out. sounds really good. I go, oh, geez, I've got to listen to that.
Why didn't I do that?
Hey, that's us, and that we weren't that good.
Well, because we get excited in here, Marto. You know, we're like friends just sitting around having a chat and a conversation, and we get excited. Mm. We get, you know, we get a beyond ourselves sometimes. Must keep it short.
You must drink
short
less Red
sweet.
Bull for me. That's my key to victory.
All right, well, let's get stuck in. Hopefully we've edited only the good bits into this.
If it's you
the can. No, just jam all the long-winded stuff in here.
Oh, I see how. Okay. All right. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse. It's the Catch Up Podcast, the Big Breakfast at Triple M. Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo. You can call the show anytime, 1-3-3-5-3. Or there's always Marto's burner phone. You can text straight through 0484-10-1045.
Actually, just on that, we check the burner phone quite often. There's a couple of similar ones here, Margo. Can you run through one of them?
Yeah, well, we had Craig from Eaton's Hill text us in the other day. He said, caught up with a mate on the weekend who's got a new woman in his life. He's gone from a beer-drinking meat lover to a full-blown non-drinking vegan. How do I get him back?
And we answered and said,
get rid of
mate, this is what happens. Yeah, it's not going to get any better because they're at their best. As soon, in that little honeymoon, that early honeymoon period, everyone's at their best. Everyone's changing themselves. Because Steve at Eden's Landing, on a different one, and this is another text that's been said, I'm in charge of organising my best mate's bucks party, but I've been given some strict rules by his fiancée, which is outrageous.
It's never a good start.
My mate loves nothing more than a night out with the boys followed by a greasy kebab, but she's told him there should be no drinking and no takeaway food as he's changed his ways.
Has he changed his ways or has she changed his ways?
Is he aware that he's changed his ways? We asked all those questions.
Have I heard of a bucks party being dictated to by a wife? Have you ever seen a man involved in my plans for a hen's party?
No, I would hope not.
Never.
Step away.
Step away.
But this is something that goes on, and it's not just a recent thing either. When a partner pretends to be interested in something to impress their future or their current partner.
Well, sometimes you make compromises in a relationship, you know, to
particularly the early days
make it work. Yeah. But
a lot of girls. I'm not going to say it's girls. No,
it's
because
not gender specific.
Actually, I know another one. I'll tell you one that's happened the other reverse.
I mean, Corey's been trying to change me, Marto. It's not just women changing men.
No, that won't happen. But we know a friend who she in their early days of courting, I suppose you'd call it, early days of their relationship.
Dating.
She and he was a rock solid fisherman. He just loved fishing, you know, off boats, off the beach, off rocks. She came every time. She'd go with him on the boat. She'd go, you know, beach fishing. Mm. She'd go camping while he was fishing.
Loved fishing.
It appeared that she loved fishing. As soon as they got engaged and she got the engagement ring
put a ring on it.
She has never fished again. She was just bunging it on for him.
1-3-3-5-3. What did you pretend to be interested in for your partner?
Okay, simple as that.
I mean, maybe you did convert and change your ways and you're happier for it, but there's a lot of people out there that were just doing it to, you know.
If you're bitter and divorced and look back and go, yeah, my partner did that.
She changed
me. He was a bugger of a bloke.
Well, maybe your mate's been changed. Maybe you also want to, you know, you feel for Craig and Steve who have lost their mates to a woman who's changed their ways.
It's a thing.
Has Kath ever tried to change you or you change her ways? Have you enabled each other? Or
I had an old girlfriend, though. She tried to get me, or she was deeply into horse riding. When you're 100Ks, horse riding's not your go.
What do you mean, horse riding?
I had a go for a while. I was keen on her. Had about three goes. Then I just had to say, hey, listen, you and I and horse riding. Yeah, I'll just go for
riding
through the bush.
Shirtless on the beach.
No, oh, this is not
just through the water.
It wasn't on the beach. Long but that's
hair.
A stupid thing if you go riding on the beach. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking
cuffed
about
white jeans.
What did you pretend to be interested in? Oh, can you imagine me in white jeans? Stains
I mean, Kath does enable you to wear terry toweling shorts. Perhaps.
My wife doesn't pretend to be interested in anything, you know, for the sake of. But a lot of people get painted into a corner or tricked, you know, gotcha, and now I'm going to change into the person I want you to be.
I mean, you were saying before that Corey would never change me. I mean, no. It's rooted in my veins is shopping and loving of the things, Marto. My first paycheck went on a handbag when I was 16 at Domino's. Like, it's not going to change. I was like that when you met me, and I'm going to be like that forever. I'm sorry.
Jeanette from Kenmore, you might have a similar story, do you?
Yes, I do. Mine was about with my hubby. We're quite opposite. He loves to go shopping. So it's quite often me was standing outside the change room holding all his clothes. I know. And I'd get, and then now if I do go along, I'm usually the one sitting out where all the men are waiting, waiting for him. And he would even take my elderly mum. If I wouldn't go, he'd ring my mum and get her just to go along so she could just give him an opinion on what he thought she thought of the phone.
That's spectacular.
And you need to meet him, Jeanette. I need your husband in my life.
Oh, you would love him. And he does have expensive taste. He does buy quality to last and whatnot. But
I'll just borrow him every now and then, Jeanette.
Oh, wow. So I wasn't expecting that one. I was expecting calls like Brent. We can't put it ever underwear today. Wife was interested in sex before they got married. That's not even... Not even funny, Brett. Not even funny. Don. Don't encourage people like that.
It's Don. So true,
bud. I know Don from Baron Bar's been hanging on. Hey, Don.
How you going? Good morning, mate.
Has this happened to you? Have you got a partner who pretended to be interested in something and then pulled the pin?
Mate, salads. The woman feeds me salads.
Women love what salads.
And we fought our way to the top of the food chain not to eat grass. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Now, Don, before you got engaged and married, it was just all meat. It was happy days, was it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then meat. And then the wedding, and then
mate.
What's this non-grey stuff, love?
I'm not sure why Don hadn't experienced the eating of a salad, but
it was meat. Just meat.
Tanya from Boondall, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Yeah, good, Tanya. Was it you or your partner who was pretending to be interested in something until, you know, you settled down and then you didn't have to care anymore?
I didn't have to care anymore. Yeah, no, that was me. So many moons ago when I met this guy, I was into squash. I played squash quite regularly, competitively and all that. And he was a cricket fan. So he played cricket with the boys every week, day, week in, week out. And all the cricket girlfriends and wives would go along. So I played my part for as long as I could, pretended for as long as I could possibly tolerate it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And then did you end up marrying fishing. Him?
Are you together?
Oh, yeah, we got married for 2.0 years, but, yeah.
Oh, ended well.
Did he ever pretend that he was interested in squash? Because that's a hard one, too. Gee, I'm going.
Yeah, not really, no. Too fast for him, mate.
What are you doing Thursday? What are you doing Thursday, champ? Go down and watch my wife play squash.
Hey, thanks for the call, Tanya. As I say, you can call anytime,
1-3-3-5-3. Can you just imagine Marto riding along
that's
the
exactly
beach,
what's happening
listening
now
to Daryl with his shirt
hair.
Off and his long, long locks and his big muscles, 100 kilos, ball of muscle and his white jeans cuffed at the bottom with the
are we
ocean
still on air?
Yeah,
what's his fascination with me on horses?
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
This is 104.5 Triple M, the Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo, fugitive caught at the border. We'll get some details on that in the next 10 minutes here at Triple M. It's 3 to 8 now.
Couldn't think of anything worse than being diagnosed with a terminally ill disease, Marto, at the age of just 55. And what do you do when you get diagnosed with a terminally ill disease?
Last Thursday, my former partner turned around to me and said, how about making a bucket list? One of the minor ones on it was flashing a mobile speed camera.
Let's make a bucket list and
Can you translate some of that?
Well, he wanted to make a bucket list.
A bucket list.
He is obviously from England, Marto.
And fair enough. At the end of the life, there's a few things. Oh, some people haven't been in a helicopter.
What do I want to do?
Grand Canyon.
No, not this guy. He wants to moon a speed camera.
Shoot
now,
for the
Now, when
stars,
I heard that,
champion.
I thought, geez, that's something that Marto would do, I reckon, on his bucket list. Have you ever made a bucket list, Marto? I know you've never been diagnosed with anything, therefore your hand has not been forced. But if you were to make a bucket list, what would be on it?
Well, it wouldn't be that.
You wouldn't want to moon a speed camera? I mean, you've mooned me here in the studio.
Well, I've not mooned you. What are you talking about? I find it disgusting, these brown eye thingy doobies that people do.
No, it's not a brown eye. That's different. A brown eye is when you part...
Oh, hold on.
Mooning is just a showing of the buttocks.
Oh.
And I mean, I've seen more bum cheek on a beach than I have being mooned here in the studio by you, Marto. But this
I showed you my tattoo just to put it into context
please.
The human resources department. Okay. I was showing you the tattoo of the Gold Coast Suns on my bottom.
Yes.
Is that mooning now? I thought mooning was bending
mooning is
over.
Just flashing your bum.
Oh.
Flashing your bum.
Because I find brown eyes to be disgusting.
Well, this guy, he made a bucket list and he flashed his bum and guess what happened?
You're under arrest.
This is ridiculous.
And exposure and
I mooned a speed camera. I mooned a speed camera.
Okay, well, that's a significant statement that you just made to us.
Yeah, I'm quite happy to say that because it was one off my bucket list.
It was one off my bucket list. He was negotiating with the police. He said, I just moonied a speed camera. He got charged for a decent exposure, Marto, and arrested.
How long's he got to live? Because I wouldn't be paying that fine.
I wouldn't be paying that fine either. And, I mean, it's a perfectly reasonable question to ask, this one.
Haven't you ever wanted to moonie a speed camera?
No.
Bloody.
He's trying to convert everyone
to
his religion.
You know that hole that you dug yourself, mate? Keep on digging.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Marto, we were just talking earlier about the battle of the richest men in the US. And it's, you said, is it Bill Gates? Is it Jeff Bezos?
Yep.
Is it Elon Musk? Well, it's Elon Musk. He wins by about $50 billion, closely followed by Jeff Bezos.
They paid their house off?
I think they pay their house off, perhaps.
Oh, good on
I think they're paying lots of interest, maybe only payments. They don't pay a lot of tax, I believe, Marto, over in the States. But anyway.
Can we just go through it quickly? Elon Musk married? Are they all
married?
Oh,
well,
no.
Jeff Bezos left his wife in 2019 of 25 years, which then made her the richest woman with 49.
He's the Amazon diet.
49 billion. Jeff Bezos, the Amazon fella. He's got a new girlfriend.
I bet. It wouldn't be real hard.
It seems that money can buy you a girlfriend, but not love, Marto, because Jeff Bezos and his girlfriend, Lauren Sanchez, attended the art gala. In LA just recently,
and a
out-of-context video has gone viral of Jeff Bezos and his girlfriend, Lauren Sanchez, running into mega Hollywood movie star Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm not sure if you remember him. What's Eating Gilbert Grape, The Great Gatsby, Titanic, just
to name
a few. Reverend, I think he was in. Just to name a few of his films.
Quite good, Leonardo.
I quite like him.
Big time Hollywood movie star, you'd say.
Is he tall?
Very tall.
Oh,
either he's very tall or Jeff Bezos is very short because during the encounter, Jeff Bezos looked like a midget. And
is this the photo you showed me just before? Righto.
There's a video that's gone viral, Marto, and it's of the encounter between Leonardo and Jeff Bezos and his girlfriend, Lauren Sanchez, who looks to be relatively bestotted by Leonardo's devilishly good looks, it seems, because she looks to be flirting very heavily with him. I mean, if you want a woman to look at you the way Jeff Bezos' girlfriend looks at Leonardo DiCaprio, I mean, you know, that's money can't buy stuff.
Jesus. So what do you do? Do you go Hollywood star or billionaire? Like, what would you rather? Is she on an hourly rate or is she a permanent?
Well, she's actually an ex-TV news anchor. So she's hit the jackpot with Jeff Bezos. She's looking pretty set there. But she's also a little shorty. You know, you as a short man, Tom Cruise would know you never marry or date a woman who's taller than you, bound to leave you like Nicole Kidman did Tom Cruise.
Show me the photo again.
It's a video. It's gone viral. But the reason I talk about it is because Jeff Bezos has now come out and tweeted a photo of himself standing next to a sign. And he says, hey, Leo, come over here. I want to show you something. And it's a picture of him standing next to a sign that says, danger, steep cliff, fatal drop, in response to the video that's gone viral where you can see that his girlfriend is clearly enamored by Leonardo DiCaprio. But obviously there's no audio to the video clip. It's just a really short little one. That kind of doesn't really give you any context to what the conversation was about, but you can see that she kind of snuggles into Leo's chest and says something to him and they engage in a conversation. And I was trying to think of potentially what does Lauren Sanchez say to one Leonardo? Can I have a selfie? No, probably not appropriate.
When I get rid of the bald guy, I'm all yours.
On standby, perhaps. I think what she said to him, my lip reading skills was, can you paint me like one of your French girls, Leo?
yes.
Until she then realised that she was too old for him and Leo likes him,
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
nature. Remember yesterday you were going, how are the ants? Because we're going, La Nina's happening, and you were going, how are the ants? And I haven't been looking.
Generally, if there's rain coming, the ants know it before we do.
All right. So I went, I'm doing a little job out at Brookfield at the moment, okay, at a person's place out there, and I noticed there was about 400 little ant nests, approximately 8 to 10 centimetres out of the ground. And I'm going, Greg, you idiot.
That's a lot.
Why haven't you been noticing this before?
Jesus.
They've been giving warning signs that I haven't, yeah, all right. So ants, there's A. There's the B was mozzies last night.
Oh, heaps of mozzies over the weekend where we were, Marto.
Thank you.
Heaps of mozzies.
And you're going camping on the weekend. There'll be midges, there'll be mozzies. This is, I know, oh, look, spring has sprung. We're out of winter. This is a miserable time of year. There's bloody butterflies
what
everywhere.
What about moths and butterflies? Because at netball last night, there were moths and butterflies everywhere.
What are moths good
and
for?
And big ones, like big, massive moths, like... What how many centimetres is that? 10.
What do they do in life? Like they're like the flying cane toad. They have no purpose at all as far as I can see. And butterflies, they're just, oh, look at me, I'm a moth, but I'm colourful. Oh,
they're a part of the ecosystem. I'm sure they contribute heavily in some way.
Well, if we can get an entomologist to ring us, I'd
believe that. The bees are out, obviously, because it's spring.
Yeah, I don't mind bees. They seem to do some good stuff,
they're
like make honey. Cockroaches, there is stuff everywhere. And I know you're just going, you're finding things to pick on, but spring's not all it should be. Spring should be a lot like spring should be when everyone's having sex and stuff, and all I'm getting is things on the
cleaning out their laundry cupboards or linen cupboards, perhaps spring cleaning.
Well, I'm just want to. I feel a bit bad that no one rang just then because I thought there'd be some other people annoyed, which now drags me down, and I go, I'm on my own out here, not liking nature.
Maybe we can do everybody a service and help them by 13353. Do you have a termite pest control company that you want to? They can get rid of your cockroaches.
All right.
They can.
Here's another one. This is the time of the year, and I found them the other night. The white ants are on the move.
White ants on the
move. Have you seen them?
Termites.
They fly in.
Get rid of them.
They fly in, especially if you've got a light, and then they shed their wings, and then they all scurry and go and build a nest. And the next thing you know, your house has fallen down. You tell me if nature's any good.
Maybe it is a case of Marto. I mentioned it yesterday. Yeah. You had it noticed. You had to go away and do some research, and now you've come back and brought it to everybody's attention. Maybe now we've given them the notification. Tomorrow they'll call us.
Ring and go, I hate
13353 and let's talk about nature.
I understand. We'll report back tomorrow.
I don't want to talk about it.
Let us know what
go,
you see.
Yeah, nature's bad.
Triple M.
Can we play this? Not enough news for an hour-long bulletin. It's been a while, Margo.
Oh, I've loved this. I missed it.
The concept, everyone clear, there's not enough news. The news on TV should only go for 30 minutes, but I can't stand by and watch any longer without making a comment.
What's
so
happened?
I understand how difficult it is, obviously, is to be a producer of a news segment. You've got, well, with ads and stuff, you've got approximately 43 to 44 minutes to fill. You've
got to make something out of nothing.
Take Wally singing out of it. That's below five. Take Gary telling us about
crosses.
The weather. That's three. You've probably got about 36 minutes of hard-hitting news stories, correct?
Yes.
Well, there's not enough news on some days, and this, I stood by Monday and I watched this young girl, the reporter from Channel 9, trying to chase George Clooney and Julia Roberts.
They're on Hamilton Island, aren't they? Up in North Queensland somewhere filming?
Yes, and she couldn't find them on Monday night and wasted a few minutes of my valuable news watching time. And then last night, again, they sent her up there to find them, and this is what she came up with. Well, I wanted hard-hitting news. This is what I got.
We've just touched down on Hamilton Island, where we're told the place is teeming with hundreds of production crew. Let's go see if we can find the Hollywood stars.
Okay. And then she couldn't find them, clearly, because otherise they would have shown
up there,
them.
Wasn't it?
It was a bit windy, and she needs a better windsock on a microphone, but who am I to tell a pro? So all she found, she started wandering around in those silly golf carts there at Hamilton Island, found people building what looked to be movie sets.
We seem to have stumbled upon some kind of setup here on one of the hotel lookouts. We're passing now the art department where they're setting up for some sets. We were told big job. There are big camera trucks, lighting trucks.
What
we're told there is a function here.
Listen
right
up. Hey, shush.
We're told there's a function here. Unless you have George Clooney in the flesh, you are insignificant.
All right. And I'm thinking this must be leading somewhere. They've taken 2 minutes so far. It's got to be leading somewhere.
It's got to be going somewhere.
This could just be an ad for Hamilton Island, could it?
Setting scenery.
Then she went to, you've been to Hamilton Island, haven't you?
I have.
You know where the boats pull in and straight away there's that little ice cream kiosk there?
Yes, there is.
That's where she thought she'd look for George Clooney.
Have you seen George Clooney's kids come in?
I haven't, but the girls have.
Really?
Yeah. Begin twice.
What girls?
The girls who weren't in shot, but they were hiding behind. They must be out the back making ice cream. They'd seen George Clooney's kids. What an amazing story.
Not enough news for an hour-long bulletin.
Jesus. I hate wasting life.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
You know what day it is?
Whingy Wednesday.
You know what I hate about Triple M? Often we play this on a Thursday because we forget. But then
whinge.
Okay, this is about little things that annoy
you. Now, this all started because you said there are too many spots on the machine to tap and go. Is it up the top? Is it at the side? Is it down the bottom? I don't know where it is.
Girl at BCF the other day agreed with me. She said, I know, it happens to me. And I go, oh, God, you must listen to Triple M. But the thing is, it's not about big issues that you need to glue yourself to a road about. It's just give us a ring on 133 53. Like these guys last week.
The mongrels last night had come down my street and threw all their rubbish in my hedge.
People coming in and asking questions after questions after questions and then turn around and look at you and go, I'll just buy it online.
Whinge. Yeah, Sean and Rachel know what we're on about. 133 53. Hey, it's a Wednesday. Get it off your chest.
Isaac from Burpengary, get us underway, mate.
People who park right behind you at traffic lights on hills don't give you any room in manual cars.
Whinge. So true, Isaac. So
Hill
true.
Starts.
You've just been bumped by one recently, is that right?
No, I haven't, but I've been close. Yes. They give you half a metre of room.
Thank you, Isaac. That's all it is. They're only little.
Simple.
Little whingers.
People who don't indicate at the roundabout.
People
who leave their shopping trolleys in the car park.
People
instead
who
of
put
in the shopping trolley bay.
Dogs in prams and you go and go, oh, look, oh, it's a dog. Come on, love. Hit the snake.
Whinge.
Dan from Wellington Point, have you got a...
My grandparents included, pensioners that shop on Saturdays when they've had all week to do it.
Oh, that's gold. That is so true, Dan. What are they up to? Busy pensioners, there's nothing
worse.
What
day does the pension come in?
I don't know.
Is it Tuesday
or Thursday?
Thursday.
I don't know anymore.
Saturday.
Dan, hopefully there's none of them listening because they're
all listening to ABC.
Up since 3:30
Dan, morning. While you're there, Huda Guru's 40th anniversary tour is playing River Stage in April with the Dandy Warhols. Some tickets for you from tickettech.com.au presented by Triple M. Thanks, Dan.
Lovely, thank you.
You deserve that. That's a great winch. Matt from Morrowfield, what do you got?
Trolley etiquette in, like, Woolies. Say, for instance, every trolley should stick to the left. Everyone should stick to the left. They should have give way signs at the end of each aisle.
Like driving a car.
We need arrows,
exactly.
Don't we?
Exactly. And people that look at a product, but they put their trolley on the other side and block the whole thing.
That's so true.
Matt,
you've nailed it. All,
yeah, and also when they leave their trolley out in the car park and the trolley return things right next to their car.
And I don't like people not taking their little pieces of paper or they've had a spring roll or something out of the bottom
out
of the trolley.
Of the trolley.
Right?
You know what also about this trolley etiquette that I don't like, Matt, is when they put the little, you know, the short, like the short base trolley in with the big base trolleys?
Yes.
Yeah. And then they don't slide into each other properly and then connect.
You've opened
you can't get them out.
Good can of worms there, Matt. Lovely. Thank you,
thanks,
mate.
Thanks, Matt.
Hayley.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah,
hey, Hayley.
Where are we? What situation are you whinging about?
So when you pull up at a petrol station to put fuel in your car and the guy in front of you can't actually pull to the front pump, so you got to sit there and wait for him to pump his fuel at the back pump.
Whinge.
I've got another one. Go around and park him in.
You can't because there's other cars all lined up where he's...
Hayley,
you're blocked.
Don't shoot the messenger. Hey.
No. We opened. This is a safe space. Get it off your chest, Hayley.
Okay. Keep... No, thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
I am. And I've never been more frustrated than I was this morning.
It happened
just recently. It's still raw,
yeah.
Marto, see?
He's sitting there staring at me going, what's your problem?
What about the people
who... What did you
who...
say?
Oh, yes.
You idiot.
Yeah.
Just pull to the front pump for me?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
All right. Hayley, thank you. Whoa, I hope she feels better. Otherwise, come on, she's got to cop it at
work.
Hang
on, can we go back to Hayley? I feel like Hayley might need a drink. Hayley, do you want to come to Margaritas with Margo?
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay, amazing. Yeah. Hold on the line. We'll get your details. I'm still sorting out the finer details of next Friday.
I feel
like
she'd be in a better
mood. Hayley, you can come along.
Don't go to the servo on the way.
I'm glad she got her whinge off her chest here.
Steve from Wellington. Now, I love what you're saying, Steve. We've got to go to the traffic in a second. Idiots that take too much equipment camping. Margo, you're hearing us.
Better to be safe than sorry, Steve.
People that take three suitcases away for a weekend.
Whinge.
What are you going to bring everything that you buy back in? A suitcase. You need a spare one.
Right. Last call, Rachel from Heritage Park. Your little whinge, what is it?
When you leave a space for other people to get in and then they don't even acknowledge you.
Oh,
no courtesy wave.
Just to say thank you.
Rachel, even this little call, that could have changed a lot of people and they'll start doing it, I believe.
I know. That doesn't take much. And I did a double let-in on Monday and neither of them even waved.
I always wave when someone lets me in, even if they choose not to let me in and I still manage to get across. I let them.
They're bloody quick to flick the bird, though, aren't they?
Thanks. The call, Rachel, Triple M.
I love the morning.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Triple M. Oh, there's a lot of rain to come. 20 to 40 mils today, up to 80 mils tomorrow. It's going to be a bit miserable around Brisbane. This is Triple M, by the way. It's the Big Breakfast.
Marto, good news in the news this morning. It's always full of doom and gloom, but there is good news. Because remember the last time we heard from the Queen?
The time for words has now moved to the time for action.
It was the last time we saw her too because we saw her with the walking frame and then the walking stick, I apologise, and then she was ordered by doctors that she wasn't allowed to go to Glasgow for COP26 on climate change, so she zoomed in a little message and then she went incognito for the last 2 weeks.
No, she just disappeared.
She disappeared.
Remember,
you speculated.
Remember I speculated that maybe she was trying to crack or he was trying to crack onto her, Bill Gates. Remember she met him one day and I've barely seen her since.
On Tinder?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one.
Also speculated that perhaps she was on her way out.
Well, I thought there was a weekend at Bernie style. They were just propping the Queen up because no one wants Prince Charles to take over.
Well, all of that is untrue, Marto, if anyone ever doubted.
Have you spotted her?
She's been spotted. She was in Sandringham for a mini break. She was ordered by doctors to have a bit of a rest.
You've seen Weekend at Bernie's. Anything's possible. Was there a copy? What do kidnappers do? They put the day's paper, was there a copy of the Times with the date on it to show that she was definitely alive?
I didn't look for that, no. She was spotted in the back of a car being driven and accompanied by somebody.
Somebody could have been holding her up.
Wearing her headscarf and her glasses with her little handbag, but she was headed back to Norfolk estate.
Was she driving herself?
And then back onto light duties. She wasn't driving herself,
What a light duty. She doesn't do anything. her scissor hand to open a few ribbons. I do like the Queen. I don't want to be...
No. She's expected to lead the royal family's tributes at this Sunday's Remembrance Sunday commemorations in London. But she will miss Saturday's annual Festival of the Remembrance at Royal Albert Hall. Obviously, we're aware that she's pulled out of some other of her duties. So she will be returning. Good news, Marto.
Great news.
Light duties. But you can once again stare at her breasts.
She's off the... I don't want to stare at the Queen's breast, but she's off the gins. Like, is it any use living to 95 if you can't have a couple at the end of a hard day?
This is Triple M.
Hey, Margo, remember Oscar Pistorius? That name mean anything to you?
He was the Blade Runner, South African.
Very good.
Sprinter, Paralympian. And did he... Allegedly.
No, not allegedly, because he was convicted.
Yeah. He killed his girlfriend. He shot her.
Shot her through.
She was hiding in the toilet.
She was a model and he thought it was somebody breaking in. And South Africa is a dangerous place. There were lots of... Well, it went for a while and first he got off and then they convicted him. And you think, how long's that been? Well,
how long has that been?
I think about... Well, you think back and maybe 5 or 6 years or something. There are
2013.
Yeah. Wow. 8 years. So he's been languishing in jail. But yesterday I see something, and this has applications to us. I know you. So how? Have a listen to this.
Oscar Pistorius is now eligible for parole after serving half of his 13-year sentence for killing his girlfriend in South Africa. The Steenkamp parents say they want to meet with him face-to-face before he's considered for early release, which is their right under South African law.
Did you hear that?
Meet with him.
Can you imagine? So instead of having crusty old 70-year-old blokes being on the parole board deciding whether you get out of prison,
you have to face,
up to the parents and relatives of the people you'd done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That would be...
I don't think having their daughter murdered or killed or whatever is going to be taken lightly, would you imagine, no. Marto?
I think he might be staying in jail for a bit longer if the dad's got anything to do with it, because the dad hated him, if I remembered. Or maybe he'll just say, I want the springy legs, I'll get to keep them. You just have to stump it for the rest of your life. Stump it around. I think there's applications for us. Have a think of that, everybody. Because if, you know, you'd finally go, you know, everyone says victims of crime. Hold on, you've done me wrong. I don't reckon you've paid enough. This would it'll be great viewing. If nothing else, it'd be very emotional.
Will we get to watch it?
Well, I'd say so. I would hope if Netflix would pick it up or something, it'd happen.
Triple M's Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Hey, big day yesterday for the flying kangaroo, Qantas, our national carrier. Did you see it? The big A380 jumbo.
Oh, I must have missed it. I didn't see it, Marto. What happened?
The pride of the fleet. I think
a plane came into the airport in Brisbane.
No, down in Sydney. They made a bloody big hullabaloo because it's been out in the Mojave Desert over out in the States where there's very dry, sterile conditions, and they've had it mothballed for months, like for 20 months or whatever, and finally they cranked that up. They just pulled the ripcord on it and said, oh, she starts again. Because if you ever left
the
mower...
They get the blower out and just blow all the red dust
exactly
off it.
Exactly how they do it.
Anyone would know, if you've ever left the mower over winter and you haven't mowed for 2 months, it's bloody hell of a hard to start because the fuel's gone off. I hope they've emptied the fuel out. I think they probably changed the spark plugs, put a new...
Drop the oil in it.
Yeah, put a new filter in their carby, probably checked them and said, yeah, Jesus, it goes.
They're going to have to pump the accelerator to kick it over just to get the fuel down the line.
Now, have a listen, and I don't know whether somebody had paid, Qantas had paid the Channel 9 to do this story, but have a look, have a listen to how grand the reporter made. It's a plane landing, mate.
Out of a COVID-induced hibernation, a mighty Qantas A380, the flagship, back in business, and what an entrance. Past Sydney Heads and down the harbour, the first of the airline's super jumbos to be brought out of mothballs.
Have you ever heard so much? Carry on.
Hundreds of them just sitting in the desert in Alice Springs.
Oh, they're sitting in Alice Springs.
They don't give a crap about them. They would have put them under a hanger if they really cared.
So they had to look after them, hopefully. And I'm going, would you catch it? I'd let them... Let's just get the bugs out. Yeah, have a few guys.
Yeah, you go. Off you go. Yeah, I'll see you when you get back.
I'll probably do February, March. I'll come
I'll
for
meet
a flight.
You over there.
Just see how you go. Because I get the feeling that that's exactly because they showed that they had cameras there. The pilots were coming off, and I get the feeling they were mighty relieved that the bloody thing hit the ground again.
When the pilots emerged, it was clear this was no regular flight. Oh,
thank God. We made it.
Oh, you can't believe
we're alive.
It still works. Incredible. And it doesn't surprise me because one of the pilots, there was two pilots and they had the co-staff and all the rest of it. One of the pilots had been out harvesting wheat during the COVID lockdown. That's going to help your piloting
skills.
Not sure
that's a skill tester for pilotism. Mm.
And the other pilot had been...
Captain Paul Grant worked as a house painter while he was stood down.
Emotional. I was welling up. I had to wipe the tears to do the landing. But it was just a beautiful day.
Hold on. He's crying.
Jesus Christ.
Too excited. Anything to get away from a house painting.
Big breakfast. Triple M.
Marto, I'm going camping this weekend, you'll be pleased to hear. My first ever time beach camping, because the last time it was supposed to be my first ever time beach camping, it got cancelled because of lockdown, so I didn't get to go. So this time, it's really my first time ever beach camping, and I'm talking no comforts of the caravan.
Always had the caravan.
I've only ever stayed in a caravan or a hotel or an apartment. I've never camped.
Tell everyone
in
what you were doing yesterday.
Well, I wasn't doing anything. I was sending my husband messages. I just screenshot everything on the King's website.
Oh, that was a wish list,
and sent it to him and said, I think we need to get all of this to go camping with, because we've never been. And so, therefore, we're starting from scratch, Marto. We have two swags to our name.
You got the caravan. But
we're not taking a caravan. We're going on the beach in swags.
Okay.
Not a tent. Marto,
you won't last.
Swags, but it's okay because I've got the Big Daddy Deluxe swag.
And you've got a mattress as
and
well.
And a mattress.
So, you
and a gazebo to go over the Big Daddy swag, which has the mattress in it, which also has a sleeping bag.
Jamie, yesterday around lunchtime, she sent me a photo. Her husband had indeed been to Adventure Kings, is that where he went?
Kings, yeah.
Anyway, Kings. And got all this gear just for two nights.
We have never been camping before. And so, therefore, we have to stock up on all of the things.
Four bloody kids.
We've got four kids. So, we already had two swags to the Parker, you know, name that we were set, right? But there's six of us. So, we had to get a couple of more swags. Wiley and Jagger will be sharing a double. Corey will have a double. Memphis will be in the King single. And I and River will be in the Big Daddy swag together.
You're not doing tent.
No tent.
It's going to be fine this weekend, which is your saviour.
Yes.
A lot of things can go wrong camping, if you didn't know.
Yes. Well, I fear everything's going wrong, which is why I like to be over-prepared. Because I read the website. I did what they tell you to do. Be prepared. List of things to know. And
the Australian Army's got less gear than you have.
There's environmental factors. Yes. You can't take dogs. You can't do this. You have to have a portaloo. You're not allowed to drive on this section of the beach. You're not allowed to do on this section. I'm like, Jesus, there's lots of rules. And apparently they're really, particular up there, the rangers, they're quite strict because there's lots of people that take advantage.
There's lots of assholes up there.
There's lots of idiots up there. So we're trying to do the right thing, you know, minimise our rubbish, all of those things.
Yes.
But I fear this is not going to go well. I mean, we've invested in all of this gear.
Lots can go wrong.
Lots can go wrong. And there's plenty of camping disaster stories, and I fear that I'm going to be just another statistic
Remember we took all those people to Moreton Island. The way they got into the cop was to tell us their disaster story, and there was a million ways to hurt and damage things while you're camping.
133353.
What?
Camping disaster stories. I feel like I'm going to be a statistic and potentially one day have the opportunity to ring up. And this could be a first and last.
You got your first aid kit?
No.
Because a lot of it's injuries, a lot of it's burns and accidental stabbings.
I've got mozzie repellent. That's all I'm worried about is the mozzies. We're not allowed fires there, no open fires, so there won't be any burns.
Camping disaster stories. Well, tell Margo, what can go wrong?
How are you cooking your food again?
Don't worry about that later. 133353.
Surely you can take a Barbie.
I mean, you saw the trailer we loaded up to come over to Moreton.
Yes, I did. I've never seen anyone take so much gear for everything you go to.
Like to be prepared.
Yeah, and that'll probably avoid.
Has anyone got one of these? Yes, I do. I have a tray to wash our dishes in because I bought one, and I have a heavy-duty cutlery.
To be prepared, you should listen to advice of people who have made mistakes.
Troy from North Lakes, 133353. Camping disaster stories. How can it go so terribly wrong, Troy?
Well, Marta, you know the serpent safari when we were 16, 17. We used to go to Seals Rocks.
Oh, down near Forster. New South Wales. Down near Tuncurry.
Yeah, and then we used to stay at a place called Treachery for the waves. And so you'd set up camp and then...
You
go surfing and the ranger warned us about the bush ticks. And we're like, yeah, no worries. So you go surfing and all the locals are out there. So why are all the tourists are out surfing? The locals go in and just have a raid of your campsite while you're out surfing.
Of course
and they're called the ferals. They live up in the bush and they just live off the tourists.
I'm not sure why a place called Treachery didn't turn out to be a good thing, Troy.
Seal Rocks when you're in the water dressed like a seal. It's one of the great shark nurseries, isn't it, Troy, down there?
It certainly is.
Yes.
That's it.
You don't wear
a black wetsuit. You don't wear a black wetsuit.
No. Yes. Okay, write that down. Thanks, Troy. Lucky I don't surf.
Lock your
Never leave
tent.
The campsite.
Yeah, never leave.
Never leave.
I don't have intentions of going far.
Hey, what about this? The wife and I, who's this from? I haven't got a name. The wife and I camped under a fruit tree. The fruit flies got through the mesh and we were covered in them. We had to go for a swim in the middle of the night to wash them off and then slept in the car. Jeez, I hope that happens to you. Serenity.
Deborah from Scarborough.
Look at this one. Aiden, we can't take everyone. No. Aiden from Joiner. The mozzie screens on the swags aren't midgie proof.
Oh, yeah, well.
Thought of that one?
No, I haven't yet. Deborah from Scarborough.
It's gonna be a fun weekend.
I don't need. Can I have the canvas clothes, though? I don't have to have the mesh bit.
Oh, you'd be a bit hot.
Well, I'd rather be hot than eaten alive by midges. Deborah from Scarborough. Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Yeah, good. Have you got a camping disaster story? What happened? Where did you go?
Well, we went to Tweed, illegal camping on New Year's Eve, nice and close to the river there. And don't start your campfire too close to the tree. The sober people can tell this because it was a drunk man that started the fire too close to the tree. And he's like, no, it's all right. It's all right. I'm like, no, it's too close to the tree. Finally, the low leaves caught on fire. The tree was starting to catch on fire.
they put the fire out before the fire brigade got there.
Yeah. Who would have thought the tree would have caught on fire?
Did you have to pay for the fire brigade to arrive?
Timber. There was a bit of common sense that went in there. He was way too drunk. No, we didn't because they didn't find us. We'd put the fire out by the time the fire brigade came. A party boat went past and they were calling out, call the fire brigade, fire!
Deb, you been camping much since then?
Yes, I love camping.
Love camping. Legally, I hope, Deborah, though. I mean, no good story starts with we were illegally camping down by the river.
Yes.
Naturally camp. We were naturally camping. Right.
Well, I have my permit booked and I have
reporting
my camping
Monday.
Side booked.
It'll be a disaster.
Oh,
no,
I do
check
it
in Monday.
I've got six children and I do need to be safe, so I always book permits now.
Oh, good girl.
All right. Good luck, Margot.
Thanks, Deborah.
See how you go Monday at Triple M.
Anything you missed from today's Big Breakfast is in the Catch Up podcast on the Listener app. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Pick up a fragrance for a loved one this Christmas from Chemist Warehouse, the real house of fragrance.